Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
An unprecedented event is happening on Earth as open contact is made with our beloved star brothers, those of the root races who have waited for humankind to be open enough to receive their information. They give us not just information, they give us their hearts, their arts, their philosophies, their histories, and their secrets. Join us on a 3-month online course. It's not too late to register. It started February the 1st. See www.appliedmysticism.com for the information about interstellar mysticism. We have a second course starting that is a very, very profound course. And it is called The Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility. It is also a 3-month online interactive initiative. Find them both on appliedmysticism.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jan. Welcome to our show this evening. We're glad to have you with us, and we have as our guest tonight a friend that I'm very glad to have him with me here. He's flown in on an invitation and just taken up the opportunity to share with us this evening lots of new information. So welcome, Ephraim Bell.
Good evening, Jan, and thank you very much for inviting me at the 11th hour. I'm
possibly 11:59.
Yeah, more like it in a few milliseconds, of course. This is good Toltec training or white worker training where, you know, speaking of warriorship, where one has to remain in fluidity, pristine fluidity, and able to just adapt at a moment's call. And I had no idea it was coming on the radio tonight, nor was I aware that I'd be the only guest. So I'm going to be asking you a few questions as well, Jan.
That's very good. Rise to the challenge. I'm with you 100%, and I really do thank you sincerely. To start off this evening, I believe we had a new, very exciting product that I want you to share with our listeners about. It's a new Belvaspitar CD that Almeen has just made, and I know it must have been truly incredible for you to be present as you are with all of her recording work. Can you share some of that with our with our listeners tonight?
With our mind readers, yes.
Our mind readers,
I'll do my best. I mean, it's bizarre, really, because, you know, to record, to get into the right space of mind as an engineer to record stuff like this, one has to let go a little of the intellect, the rational way of dealing with things. So, you know, essentially I've got a makeshift state-of-the-art studio here in Newport. Everything's wired up, ready to go. It's kind of a native recording setup where I'm using really high-end analog equipment. I feel a bit jittery today because I actually worked wired up a Chandler Abbey Road Edition EMI compressor, which was, you know, the same model that was used to record the Beatles and Source of Our Secrets from Pink Floyd in the late 60s and 70s. That worked nicely today. We did some recordings Armin and I with material which is coming up for the hidden planets, you see. But you're referring specifically to the Belvis Batar product, which we finished. And, you know, the point is that when I'm recording something like this, I just feel that I'm in a state of being where I'm not being analytical. I'm just, you know, essentially in listening from the heart. The engineering side is all in place. It's all wired. It's all the software is up to date. You know, it's something I can just let go of. Once I, you know, I pull out of gear and I go into the sort of the null point, and that's where my experience of this recording can be witnessed, you see. And it's a delight to actually capture the angel names, the angels of Belvis Batar, in this beautiful one-hour recording. These are only some of the angels, but they are some of the more significant ones which are used in a Belvis Batar healing session. And the wonderful thing is that we can play this CD whilst we're giving a healing. It's something that could be used when we're giving instruction to people, to when we're initiating people. It's a beautiful background soundscape for the practitioner, you see. When one is actually giving a healing, it's nice just to take the ring from the air, the stark stone sound of silence, is to have this beautiful, silky-sounding soundscape playing when you are doing a Belvis Batar healing. You could, in fact, say that this could be used in all different modalities as a soundscape or something that you can just play at home. It's actually something you could play and leave playing at home, and it would purify stresses and electromagnetic smog, which is, you know, somehow clinging to the wall sometimes. It can be echoes of things that have happened in the past, illusionary perhaps. But you could actually play the CD, put it on play, turn the volume up a bit, and go for a walk. And it's doing its work. It's actually it's going to purify some kind of psyche which is fractured in the household. I mean, it's that powerful, John. It's just amazing, you know. I'm not sure if you want me to speak about Belvis Batar in relation to this recording, John.
Well, let's both talk about it a little bit. Good idea. I want to just share a few details, which I was quickly jotting. I was recently in the Sedona class with Almin and on the Mexican cruise. I was lucky enough to attend those events, along with many students from all over the world. And we had Sergey and Jill from Russia with us in Sedona, who blessed us with their beautiful, their concert level musicians, professional musicians, and Sergey plays piano and Jill plays violin, so they were playing music for us, which was just an amazing addition to the class and the information that was coming through. Also on the Mexican cruise, we had people from Australia, Denmark, Canada, U.S., all over the world, so in light of that, we can certainly share some information about Belvis Batar, but during the course on the cruise, Almin shared a little bit about this Belvis Batar CD because it's so new. And I wanted to just mention the name of the CD is called The Healing of the Angels. And Almin mentioned that it's broken up into sort of, I mean, it flows continuously for 60 minutes, which is a great tool for Belvis Batar masters who are working with doing healing sessions for themselves or other people, because that's sort of a traditional, an appointment slot, 1 hour. And so the first 20 minutes she's calling the names of the major angels of Belvis Batar. Then she said there's a portion of about 20 minutes where she's giving blessings from the infinite for the person, you know, doing the session, and also a client if you have one. And then in the last portion, she's calling the angels of divine compassion. So I thought that was very interesting information, which I didn't know before. And insofar as talking about Balasbhata, we can share with our listeners that it is a healing modality which Amin brought through directly from the infinite. It's a healing modality of light and frequency, where the sigils that are used with this modality hold the angelic frequency of light that is used to remove the illusion of the disease or conditions which people may be manifesting. And it really is just a form of white magic in that it removes illusion. It helps to remove and dissolve the illusion and reveal the underlying perfection that is already existing. What would you like to add?
Now, what could I add on top of that, Jan? I mean, that really well put. I mean, I'm learning stuff off you I haven't heard before, you know. I mean, essentially, it is all about releasing this kind of this matrix which clings onto the human body, of the illusion of sickness. I mean, this sort of energy which, how can I say, as long as there are matrices, there is an artificial program determining the unfolding of life. So, you know, if we just leave this unattended, it's going to play out, and it's not always kosher, let's say, you know. What is remarkable about Balasbhata, you know, with this kind of cellular numbers that we have, you know, the cell phone numbers that we can actually call upon these angels, and you know there are actually billions of them out there, but we are just starting with the ones that are dealing with certain parts of the physiology, or perhaps with the clearing of DNA. You know, we can look at a particular angel like Ku Uluvet, and anyone that's learned Balasbhata will know Ku Uluvet. Helps with DNA activation, awakening the codes of light and love within the cells. I mean, this is just so, it's like, yeah, of course. I mean, it just makes common sense. It's that the information, our psychic information, the information to the whole body, is within this DNA. And, you know, there's so much stuff. There's all these strands of DNA that have been sleeping, which are coming online because of this angelic modality. It's removing these ugly matrices which have been keeping us in the arena of disease and discomfort, of limitation, of aging, of things which we just feel that we can't cope with life. I mean, this is starting to disintegrate. And we're doing this with the support of these beautiful angels. And it's a fantastic feeling. You just know they're there. There's one of Almin's students, Jennifer, who's out in Malaysia. We were in Ireland a couple of years ago on one of Almin's workshops, and I initiated Jennifer and her mother, Tam. And during the initiation, Jennifer could see the angels coming in colored form, like in bands, like waves, you know. Kelek Nut Farzalesh Vispatak, I think that's the name of the overriding angel.
Yes,
she saw
correct.
The overriding. Did I say it correct, Jen?
I believe you did. Kelek Nut
Farzalesh
Vispatak, yes.
Cool, all right.
It's not correct.
Good. Yeah. Pardon the accent, of course. But, you know, she saw these angels coming in. She saw the overriding angel appear, and then she saw the rest of the angels come in pairs. And apparently they do hang out in pairs. I mean, they're part of a group soul.
Yeah.
You know,
they have a group mind.
They have a group mind, yeah. But, you know, there's just the thrill of sort of having the, you know, individuation of that particular angel in your midst. That's, you know, you draw the sigil, you call the name, you follow the instruction, and you just feel this connection with this angelic beauty. My goodness, it makes I have to hold back my tears when I initiate somebody. And the amount of tears I've seen when I've actually been initiating those that come to Armin's pods for the first time, it's just, it's no wonder, because it's one of the most beautiful things you could experience, you know. So the music really is just really something that we should have had in place quite some time ago. And I'm glad we've done that, because it gives you a closer connection with the angels of Belvis Batar, and it gives you a wonderful backdrop when you're doing an initiation or a healing.
I'm very grateful also that Almin has, along with your assistance, made this recording, because I think it's going to be a great enhancement for anyone using this modality. And I'd like to ask on this note if Seth would please play for us our first recording from Almin this morning, or transmission from this morning. I don't know what time of day it is here with all my international traveling this evening. If Seth would play our first transmission from Almin. It's a transmission from the Minute. Is that correct, Paul? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us anything else about them? Just in a few seconds here before we play?
I'll do that on the back of playing it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The following is a conversation that is about to take place with a group of beings from the hidden planet of Minute. Asknatski kaki kanahusiki ikia ebi ikiha hihi hirkna susu siktakete nemitutu hunuhiki ahanats ikahitsika amanats uki aya. Nekite peki ahune ichi a kiaka usuh kanesitsaka ikikia na uchikia ba unuskuskia tahanets ba kuftikini ichi ta mapfieka uhkanats. 24 cycles of life have taken place. We are now in the 24th. When cycles of life have closed, they have been of a lower consciousness. We are currently at the tip of the pyramid. Whether we go beyond or go back down is crucially to be decided at this point. Netsiki haknasa. Utskipitika etse ine itsahaya. Uvikihiyehkana. Uisa yemenets. Uskita akva hiti ahune. Iki a yee. Kiaka hunes. Tsukitak tsia manuts. Pakivits a ukene iya. Fikia manuhusu. Sepikia kinis. Asata, we have tried to eliminate those cycles when they close, for they closed because they became obsolete and unable to sustain themselves through life. But they have not gone away. Like ghosts, they linger, waiting for their secrets to be understood. Sky kizime tsakana, ivyaku ksa benit. In the animal races you shall find their secrets. For there are 24 root animal kingdoms called the totem animals. And in their hearts they have kept a record of the secrets of these cycles. Learn it, that an end may come to them.
Wow. What else can you tell us, Paul? You said you'd share some information with us afterwards.
Okay, this really is an area of transcendence where I've got an echo coming back on my phone, Jan, so I'm going to try and cope with this delay. Back here. Yes, we're looking at the most etheric planets in our midst now. The Earth, obviously, it's gone through a transit into a new area of the cosmos. It is during this ascension process, we're actually surrounded by a whole new configuration of planets. And what we see out there, what we think we see out there, in fact, is a hologram. Are you still there, Jan?
Yes, I am. I certainly am. My phone
okay, very good. It's very, very quiet.
Yeah.
It's good. So we already know, if we look into the night sky, that a lot of the stars that we see, that we think we see, they don't exist anymore. I mean, we're within the time-space continuum. We're looking at the illusion of time, just so I can convey an idea here. We're aiming towards the null point beyond time, but, you know, within this time-space continuum, we're looking at a night sky with light that takes hundreds, thousands of light years. You know, it's like traveling at the speed of light for a year. It's one light year for the light to reach us. So quite often, you know, what we're looking at has already turned into a supernova, into a red dwarf or white dwarf or something like that, or it's been sucked. In crude terms, it could have been sucked into a black hole, for instance. Now, beyond this understanding is that we're looking at the appearance, the unveiling of a new night sky around us right now. And it's very, very gradually unfolding. And it's going to reveal these 12 hidden planets which are in our midst. And they are so, so finely etheric. It's going to take quite some work for the light workers to help etherealize the planet. It's not a case that we want to leave the mortal coil behind, the physical behind. As I joked a couple of weeks ago, Janet, you know, like Spock from Star Trek, you know, he refers to humans being carbon units, and you know, I'm thinking, well, in fact, we're looking at
the
silicon units and homo luminous, you know, light beings, but we're not going to leave the physical behind. Now, Armin, I just hope I can draw the information without thinking about this too much. Armin is saying that the physical body is becoming, there's more emphasis on it being the eternal vehicle of the soul. It's just wonderful the way she projects this. We're not leaving this gross physical being behind, this, you know, this vessel, this kind of clothing that we've worn, that we call the human body. You know, it's something that we're going to learn to upgrade and use in the ascension process. So what I'm trying to say is that the human form is becoming more and more etherealized, and the star races are becoming more densified. The planets themselves are becoming more densified. The more we become aware of them, the more they are responding. It's just that the more they become aware of us, and the more the infinite is becoming aware of the connection between us. So the 12 unknown or invisible planets are, for the first time, trying to connect through us and are successfully connecting through Armin, through the sound elixirs. They're actually, how can I say, we cannot expect to see, I mean, it's possible, and it's going to be more and more predominant in the future, but we shouldn't expect to connect with some of the star races and see a physical starship come down to Earth with a ramp clanking on the ground with little ETs coming off. I mean, this has happened and it will happen. But we think we see everything, but we only see a sliver of the electromagnetic spectrum. We only see a tiny portion of what's out there, 1/100th maybe, with that, you know, the 8 or 10 or 12% of the brain that we're using. So what planets 7 through to 12, the ultra-feminine planets, what their message is we're connecting to you, humankind, through our poetry, through our frequencies and sound, through our love and our art. And don't expect the spaceship to go plonk on the ground in sort of the expected way that people are waiting to connect with extraterrestrials, you see.
Yes,
now,
exactly.
I mean, it's really fascinating that something so subtle is connecting with us now. And the more we do this, the more we're meeting halfway. This is. I mean, it's fast. I don't even know where to start with this because, I mean, if I was to press the stop button now and decided to just go off and study everything that Almin has brought to the surface over the past few years, I could spend the rest of a million lifetimes just trying to figure it out, you know, because it's vast and it's really multi-layered as well. And every time you read it from a different state of consciousness, you get a different value from it as well, you know.
Yeah. She shared recently, I know that you're aware of this also, but she was sharing in class and we were working with these ideas and these ways to access information very directly in class. And just as you have stated, these especially feminine planets did not want to just transmit information or facts. They wanted to share this essence of the beauty, this renaissance of the golden living and the golden life with, for instance, their poetry, which is similar to haiku, where it paints a portrait or a glorious picture beyond any sort of narrative or any descriptive words might do in more traditional poetry, or they've sent this art through various individuals. And really, I made the comment, well, everyone is an artist because everyone can avail themselves of creation of a beautiful interaction with these beings, which really is ultimately ourselves. It really is just accessing different aspects of ourselves. So what we were guided to do in class was to listen to the sound elixirs and to not just try and get information, straight information, but to allow ourselves to be moved and swayed by the beauty of the music and whatever it meant to us, because the words aren't in English. Who knows what they may be saying? It's what it speaks to each person in their heart. So I would like to share just a couple of writings that Almin created from each of our impressions. We all wrote down our impressions after listening to the interstellar sound elixirs, and then Almin took all of these comments and made these beautiful, even more enhanced works of art. So I'd like to just share a few. I'm going to start with one. I'm going to read two. One is, dolphins dive through the hoop of the moon on the water, making rings that ripple through starry skies. It's just a beautiful picture that it paints. I mean, you can see that happening as you hear the words. Another is, in jeweled flight, the hummingbird's wings, iridescent and bright, hasten life on its way. And as we listen to Almin read these, we also had the experience of, what does this say to me? You know, so each person's going to receive a different answer. But for instance, it almost reminds me of high school literature or English, where you were asked to give your synopsis of what a poem might be trying to say. And for instance, this one about the hummingbird, where it describes the iridescent and bright, the jeweled flight of the hummingbird. You know, what is that saying? Because the hummingbird flies so quickly you can't even see its wings move, so it appears to capture the moment, but it also can only be seen in the bright light. If you didn't see it in the bright light, you wouldn't see this gorgeous iridescence. And so it was almost the idea to me that we're all lit from within with the one life, the illumination of the infinite. So anyway, those are just some examples. And I'd like to now play another transmission from Almi.
Katsanik, Pitsike, Itskanahutseki. Nothing can go away. Where shall it go to when all that exists is one? Miharakta husana, itzikpahi hihaka, ufetse ki hana mini itse. Ikasa kutsaka yea une evei. The only way that illusion disappears is when it is balanced with its opposite pole, and both are honored and seen for their value, and joined together, that they then cancel one another out, leaving that which is indivisible. Nitzikyakba kutse aretsaka hanas. Isikisikiaka hu minikipa ufitianats. Ikiaku hasehyaka. Inisa kuasia eye. Mina visha uhakta enisa uba. I tell you now that all previous 23 dream spaces are still opened, as is the awakened spaces that is their opposite. The spaces are shadows cast by splitting the poles of dreaming and awakening. For anything that can be split and defined by its opposite is not real. Thus, each of the previous dream cycles must give their messages to you. In understanding dreaming, this you must do, that they can be healed and honored as well, not only awakening. Is that which enlightenment brings. It's a kapahutsi a enets kahushi ahava. An embodiment of the infinite has laid itself down. Like a bird that plucks the feathers from its breast to lay a trail through the forest. These cannot be gone before the messages are understood. For, like a computer program that is hacked, all information shall then go away. Thus the infinite's embodiments sleep along the trail, waiting for us to gather the insights of the cycles.
I'm so grateful to hear Amin make these comments. They are referencing some of the things we were working on in our Sedona class and also the Mexican cruise. So I know people that were participating in those classes will be happy to hear this, and also others I know who are very anxious to hear about what happened in class. This idea that there's value to be gained in everything, so these cycles of the dream where we don't want to just push them away as if they've never happened, but to gain the insights and not create these illusory opposites, but to unite the whole is just, I would love to listen to that again so I could get further information out of it, which I will. I'll listen to the archives. I want to, as Amin's talking about valuing all of this information in these dream cycles, there's been a situation recently where photos have been taken of Almeen, and due to the change in her frequency, as we're continuing along our journey here, and all of us also, but the photos that have been taken of her recently have shown a more ethereal quality to them. And also many of the photos taken in Sedona, and I'm sure on the Mexican cruise, have been showing this with all of us, but a particular light will come into the photos, like a yellow, orangish, reddish light, and you're present in the room and you know how it looked to your eyes, yet when you see the photos, there's many beings that are appearing that you could not see with your eyes, with your physical eyes, or there are people that you were in the room with who now you can see, they're totally transparent and you can see several people through them or see furniture through them, or they don't have, you know, all their form intact because they're more ethereal. But I wanted to mention that there's going to be a new site created on Facebook where you can access these photos and also much more of this type of non-cognitive information, such as the poetry that I read or some of the art that we've been speaking about. This is going to be available to you on Almeen's Diary, so www.almeendiary.com. You can click on there, and initially there'll be a link there for you to get right on this new site, which will be on Facebook, and it's going to be called Labyrinth of the Moon, Almeen Dances with the Paradox. So it's going to be this, as it just sounds, a beautiful dance with this information. And I know that Paul has seen a lot of the interdimensional photos because he posts many of them on Twitter Wisdom. And Almeen did mention to me that you had a particularly interesting post on there, I believe yesterday, about the Renaissance of Living, and it's kind of fitting in with this same idea of this non-cognitive information. Can you share with us about that, Paul?
You're referring to which post, sorry, Jan?
I believe she told me it was something, she was just sharing with me how we both are very excited about this Renaissance of Living, and she mentioned that you had a post on Twitter, I believe, yesterday about that, or maybe you just may know of a particular one.
Oh, it's probably something in the pipeline, because I'm going to have our Twitter team mirror the Labyrinth of the Moon. Almeen Dances with a Paradox.
Okay.
I think this is excellent because, you know, I remember actually, you know, tweeting something of Almeen's a few weeks ago about, it's almost like a message to lightworkers on Earth who start to understand that just being out there in the bliss is not the answer to it. You know, we've got to come back and sort of engage, we can engage in life's play. And it sort of reminds me of something from Rumi, you know, this is something Almeen has obviously said in her own language, but I'm just giving a reflection here. So Rumi, you know, one of his lines was, engage wholeheartedly in the play of life, but also be the observing audience, lest you forget you are not the role you are enacting. So what I'm referring to here is like realizing that life is a play, it's a dream. Witnessing this, getting off the stage, being in the bliss, and thinking, well, why don't I just get back on stage again and enjoy the part, enjoy the character? And really, we were looking at this particular tweet, and it referred to... yeah, it sounded like a tweet right now, but never mind.
You're doing it.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Dan. You speak.
It's all this great lingo we have, tweets, Twitter, blogs.
Oh, God. I mean, you got to take this Twitter seriously because it's quite awesome, actually. But what I tweeted was the message of coming back to Earth with all your vastness and embracing the paradox that you are. Embracing the contradiction that you are, I think, is what she said. But it reminds me of what's coming up in this new theme, Almeen Dances with a Paradox. I think we need some help there. And this will be, you know, it's sort
we
of...
We might need
I've touched upon it before, you know, what these old terms of cosmic consciousness and Brahman consciousness and unity consciousness. It's like being the vastness and being the unit self at the same time. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
The left brain doesn't know what the heck's going on with this kind of language, you know, but I think what we're seeing now is that we're getting a lot of advice of how to embrace this paradox. Don't struggle, you know, to be the light or to be the vastness only, or just think, well, I've got to come back to my unit self again to prove that I'm here, I am something. But it's just something in between that we're trying to grasp. Now, I think you. What we heard there, Jan, was referring to content that's coming up in future. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with this. We've just got the I Am course running as of yesterday. And we have
incorruptibility.
The Interstellar Mysticism is running for 3 months as of yesterday as well. On the back of that, we have this IHP course, which is dealing with the animals and the dream cycles. And I think, you know, it's not a case of holding your breath and waiting for that to come up, but it's embracing what's happening now through the present courses, knowing that this exciting edition will be coming up in March. And it's essentially, it's like, you know, if humankind holds the key that we are the microcosm of the macrocosm, the memories were lost between cycles of life. It's like the electromagnetic particles that form the illusion of the dream spaces were wiped clean, and the poles reversed, and the memory and the magnetic portions were wiped away, like sound on a magnetic tape, you know. So at some point, we're thinking, well, where is the continuation of experience being held for that part, which was the dream, the subconscious mind? And it's the wonderful creatures out there. It's the 24 animal archetypes who have really kept the lessons, the experiences of the cycles. And it's just going to be a joy to be able to understand what, you know, the bears and the owls and the spiders and, you know, all these wonderful creatures out there have got pieces of the puzzle to which will be unraveled through these online courses, but especially through the IHP course in March.
And we're also going to have the Art of Dreaming course in May, which is just as we're talking about, it's understanding.
Oh, I meant that one, May. So, I'm Jan. I was referring to that one. Sorry, it was.
Okay,
May.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure with IHP. You were saying because that just finished, but nonetheless, the name. It's all in the name, but a rose is a rose. We'll just clarify that it's going to be called the Art of Dreaming, and this idea that we are in this seeming dream, but it's a waking dream, and it's one where we fully participate in this non-cognitive way, which we've had so much striving to understand and to know and to be linear in our thinking, which has kind of let us shoot ahead into the white light with this ascension process, but yet this more black light, more the void, the vastness of all that is, has been sort of left behind, this more feminine aspect. So that's what we're now accessing with this broad and deep non-cognitive way of accessing information. So it's just a new way for us to think about being and living and expressing. So this Art of Dreaming course will help us with that. And also, Almeen has mentioned that the Interstellar Mysticism course that's currently running is going to, you know, build towards this Art of Dreaming course. So it might be something that if people are taking that course and they're finding that helpful and enjoyable, they'll certainly want to participate in the Art of Dreaming course. I wanted to mention also that in class and on a Mexican cruise, Almeen brought some information through about the Lemurian clock and that it's a device, a tool, that we use to clean, quote-unquote, or help us to unravel and dissolve and release some of the dreams and past lives for individuated life and also on a cosmic level. It's almost as if we have slept and dreamt that all of life has taken place when really it's been sort of just that, like a dream, and that it, to say that it never really happened, I think can be confusing, just as you were saying, like our linear mind can't grasp it and wrap itself around it, but more information will be coming through about that, and that will be in that Art of Dreaming class also. And she did share that this overlay that we've experienced with many matrix-like systems that have been in place, this like overlay of illusionary reality is constructed with this triad. So even though we've had the transmutation, transformation, and transfiguration process, this has always been this triad, which is an artificial overlay, really. So even though we have been ascending and we've been going higher and higher in this process, it's still been, as you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, Paul, it's been this illusionary overlay of our reality. So what came through in the Mexican cruise class was that at the center of this triad is actually man, or, you know, man as a as our race of beings, and that this was actually the inner child in the center of this triad, and that the dream overlay was constituted by the child almost dreaming all the different sub-personalities, the sage and the inner nurturer and the warrior. So more of this information will be unfolding as we go forward with our online courses, and that means transmissions and what she'll be sharing on Facebook and the blog and Twitter. So please, you know, avail yourselves of that information, which all means freely sharing with us on those public forums. And we're going to now hear another transmission from Almeen.
Anets Minas, Ustich Vatsahaye. Where else have their insights been kept? Kitsapatu hana kivitsa, ibikikiaka vutsitsitia matsatsiki, amanasuhuji akatatsa, utsikite hinitsi, aoutsakba, pikie hinits. Not only do the animal archetypes on earth hold these secrets within their heart, but also they slumber in the 24 star races that are the root races of the cosmos beyond man. Nitzkapatsukuki nitsa kuvitsikiha minits kuhayika evitsikihiya anats. 12 known planets and 12 unknown planets have contacted the Earth. The 12 known planets are the most recently lived cycles, carriers of the secrets. The 12 unknown planets are the oldest cycles that were the deepest into the dream state. Mitsaka hinihya ukve hitze. The star races shall bring information that shall be given to the major lightworkers on Earth about the art of dreaming and sleep and awakening. Zakayitsa manuts, deeply shamanic information it shall be. Kipa hunuka eyets, as through 24 realms of dreaming, you progress to search for the secrets of your past lives. 24 cycles of past lives, many containing many lives within them. Bitsikiha eni, fitsa Ukinis. This shall bring a feeling of completeness. And when it is complete, it shall eliminate your past.
You know, the amazing thing here, Jan. Am I back online here?
Yeah,
amazing thing
sure
is that I've never seen Armin go into the birdcage where we do the recording. She never has any notes. She hasn't got a laptop. She doesn't have a handheld, palm-held computer. She doesn't have notepads. She just goes in. I don't even think she's not even thinking about what's coming up, only that something will have to be inserted for the radio show. But it's just live on the fly, which is so exciting. I mean, I'm almost like state of home goosebumps here. You know, it's really so exciting when it comes out without any preamble, without any preparation, and this sort of teaches me to. I mean, it's a lesson itself, and I can only try and share that with others. Is just to let go of anything that you feel is like an agenda, and trust more and more what she's trying to teach us now, with the help of the star races and the hidden kingdoms and the angels, is to channel as she does directly to the infinite, because there is a sense of Almin pulling back, from radio and from some of the workshops and so on and so forth. And it's not that she's retreating from us. She's actually connecting with us on a deeper level. She's teaching us how to reach and be more self-referral so that we can channel like she does. It's not her own words I'm choosing here, Jan, but it's, you know, essentially, I've listened to that insert now. I recorded it, I mastered it, and, you know, I hear it like it's brand new again. And it is. It's just, you know, you made a point before about sort of wanting to listen back and knowing that there's so much depth of wisdom there. You could listen to it over and over again, and you would hear something different in there. It's that multifarious, you know.
I am just in awe and just so much gratitude after listening to that. I mean, I really felt like I wanted to start crying at the opportunity that we're all given, and just in amazement of the clarity and the impeccability of what Almin gives to us, just in everything that she does. But just as you said, she goes in, she just is clear, she brings this through. It's such a gift that we're given, and I'm just really in awe of it. And as I said, gratitude to her. It's really hard to put into words, but that one especially, I just felt so much, exactly what you shared after it was over.
Whew. Should I bring some information about Twitter, Jan? Because
I think that'd be great. We are, and I'd like to have you do that, share about our global community. That is so exciting.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Global community. As some of the masters are aware, that Simvial here is managing Almin Wisdom for Twitter. And we also have a group of masters who are managing the other timelines in for the different languages, Almin Wisdom being the main English one. And then we have French and Spanish, Russian, Greek, and there is a new development that's going to be a Danish one, which is about to go online within a couple of days. And there will be an Italian one that's coming soon. There's going to be a Dutch one as well. Now, what we're looking at here is a way of connecting very quickly without going through the filters and screens of media. And, if people aren't already aware of Twitter, it has a silly name, of course, but it is the most buzzed about social media platform on Earth at the moment, and it's faster than you can imagine. It's faster than Reuters. It's faster than CNN and BBC and ITV and all those guys. I mean, something goes out on Twitter. You know, something happens in the world, it can be tweeted within seconds. And you know the news guys at Reuters, they haven't even left the building, let alone got the scoop on it. You know, so there's kind of an exciting development here because Almin, you know, this is like the juggernaut of social media. I'm going to quote Ashton Kutcher here because he's the guy that got the most followers. He got over 1 million followers a few months ago.
And yeah.
I think he's got more like 1.5 million now. But he quoted, right now, the word evolution is spelled in 140 characters. And I would just give that a tweak and say right now the word ascension is spelled in 140 characters because this is a way that Almin can connect with so many people quickly with just moment-to-moment discoveries and insights. And like I say, it's working through all this, the foreign language accounts as well. I just wish to thank everybody for doing such a grand job out there on the foreign language accounts. I'll go into more detail about that on the next radio show. But, you know, we're looking at a way of giving guidance, first aid, wisdom to many people out there. And those people, would you believe, we heard today that Sergey and Jill, who were managing Mudrost Almin, which is the Russian account in Russia, the archbishop and or one of the archbishops and his diocese are following Almin wisdom. And there's
many
people high up in the religious world, in the spiritual world, you know, Reiki masters and yoga teachers and people who write rather in-depth books about spirituality are following Almin. And it's not just like a one-hit wonder as far as the wisdom's concerned. I'm seeing the direct messages coming back. It's like, my goodness, she's given me so much
awesome.
To think about, so much to, so many insights and given me lessons in abundance or how I can deal with the changes to ascension, because sometimes it looks like we're going spiraling downwards when we're going through ascension, but in fact it might just be that we don't understand
yes.
the circumstance because we're looking at the old benchmarks, we're looking back too much to understand what's coming on the cusp, you see. So I'm amazed that Twitter is just like turning into this amazing spiritual juggernaut, and it's growing, Jan. I mean, I think we've got about 15,000 followers now, and that's just over the past 6 months. And
I
can imagine being 100,000 at the end of the year because it's growing exponentially.
So well,
and
congratulations to you, too, for steering that. I have to also just kind of wrap up our show tonight, and thank you very much, everyone. So hold that thought, and the next time we talk on our next radio show, I'll get you to continue on from this point. Thank you to all of our listeners this evening and to especially Almin for all of her beautiful insights and wisdom, which she shares with us so freely. Good night to all of our listeners. Good night, Ephraim Baal. Thank you.
Good night, Jan. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity, with Almin. Please join us again next week. Chana.